Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Right. I always feel when we talk about Thomas that I have to defend him because I identify with Thomas. We should all identify with Thomas. All the other disciples did the very same thing. Do we also not doubt when we shouldn't? Do we also not know the truth and sometimes wonder what, why? It happens to all of us. And I'll tell you my personal story of doubt. And Thomas finds himself in the same condition, right? I came to know Jesus January 10th, 2012. Even though I had grown up in the church all my life, I always love to tell people that me and Edwin grew up together. His parents were my youth group leaders. I felt like I spent more time with his mom than my own parents, you know? I told Tere Friday, I didn't tell Edwin this, but I told Tere, Tere, you know something? I think I love you more than your son loves you, right? And she had a good chuckle. She's like, sometimes I want to believe that, right? And here, I got to a place where I was basically an atheist. Even though I grew up in church, I knew it. At age 16, I was preaching from the front of La Primera Iglesia Presbiteriana de Miami. Right? I knew the gospel. I always wondered. My sister found a recording of it, and I heard it, and I'm like, oh, man, I knew the truth. It wasn't make-believe. I knew the gospel. But I didn't believe. I didn't believe. And my sin and my love for my sin led me to a place where I was an atheist. And I wanted nothing to know or do with God. But that's not where the doubt comes in. Because I was past the doubt. I was not believing at all. But Jesus finds me January 10th, 2012. Shows me the truth. And now I'm a Christian. And I know the truth. And I know the gospel. I know what it really means. I know I have salvation. I know all of this. But then in October 2014, from October 2014 through February 2015, I experienced what I like to call the big 3D. The big 3Ds, right? Death, disease, and divorce. All at once in a short period of time. October 2014, my then wife files for divorce. January 2015, my father dies unexpectedly of a crazy infection. He gets in the hospital because he had the common cold. In February 2015, I get diagnosed with prostate cancer, right? If I had not known Jesus, like a buddy of mine told me, that was not a believer, he's like, that would have crushed me, he said to me. And I'm like, no, I was okay, except for those moments of doubt. They crept in. They crept in because all this is happening all at once and my faith is holding on to me. But every once in a while, I'll be like, is God real? Where is God? Why is this happening? And here's how you know you have a relationship with God the Father, and you know He has you in His hands. Because in those moments of doubt, the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you and shows you the truth. This is the lesson we're going to learn today. Because Thomas is in the same predicament. He knows Jesus. He knows the truth. And he is doubting. He can't be alive. I will not believe. And here comes the one-on-one lesson. Right? When Jesus does appear to Thomas, it's in the same manner. Right? He doesn't come another way because what he wants to do is show Thomas what they were telling you was true. See, this is how it always happens. We know the truth and the Holy Spirit confirms it in our life, and Jesus was confirming it for Thomas. So they're locked in. A week later, they're still scared, and Jesus appears supernaturally. He didn't knock on the door and wait. Someone let me in. Come on, guys. I know you're scared. Hey, it's Jesus. No, he appears. And again, listen. If we were in a crowded room and Jesus appeared right there, we'd all be like, oh. Same thing happens again. Again. And although Jesus was not physically present during that week when Thomas is having conversations with the disciples, here comes the one-on-one lesson. And I love it because Jesus always knows what we're thinking, always knows the questions we have. He always knows the doubts. Right? So he doesn't rebuke Thomas. He doesn't call him out. He just says, This is the proof you wanted. He says to Thomas, put your finger here. I know that's what you want. Put it there. Put your hand in my side. That's what you were asking for. That's the proof that you want. And he says, stop doubting and believe. It's a simple call. I know your doubt. Stop that and believe. And now, the scripture doesn't tell us, did Thomas? I wondered that. But did he put his finger in? I mean, he gave him the opportunity. I think not. I think immediately being in the presence of Jesus and just hearing his voice and just even seeing, I doubt Thomas had that kind of courage or even, I don't even know what to call it, right? I wouldn't. And we know Thomas doesn't because he makes the emphatic statement. He makes a proclamation of faith that is probably the greatest in all of the Bible. He says, my Lord and my God. Says nothing else, because that's all he needed to say. Because he was and is Thomas's Lord, and he was and is Thomas's God, and he is our Lord, and he is our God. That's the lesson. That's what Thomas needed to know. That's what we need to know. This is the proclamation we must make. My Lord and my God. See, it all comes back to the gospel. Always comes back to the gospel. The good news that the kingdom is at hand, that's what Jesus was preaching. And now, because of his resurrection, his death and resurrection, he proves that he is God. He proves that he is the Messiah. He is just not a good teacher, like some people want to say. He just was not some prophet, like other sects want to claim. He was not just a good, moral, righteous man who set a great example that we should follow. He is Lord and he is God. We all need that realization. We all need that one-on-one and that lesson learned daily. That's the gospel. The gospel does not save us once and then we forget about it. It's an ongoing recollection of the gospel. And then Jesus offers us this blessing as he says to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Every Christian that came after Thomas and the disciples, the apostles, and that first cloud, that group of witnesses we call it, that saw Jesus firsthand, we get this blessing. And this is an interesting word for me, blessing. It always causes conflict within me because in our popular culture, we love to think as blessings, and they are, as I got a great job, what a blessing. I got a brand new car, it's a great blessing. I got a raise, fantastic blessing. My marriage is healthy and happy, beautiful blessing. These things are all blessings. Don't get me wrong. But what Jesus is talking about here is the ultimate blessing, the only blessing that we will need, and that is the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. That's the blessing that we have because Jesus ascended. We do not have the privilege to see the risen Christ from the resurrection. We will see him one day. If he comes in our lifetime, or we go to see him first. But this blessing is a spiritual blessing. It is the blessing of being in a relationship with God the Father. Because remember, it is our sin, our fault, not our problems, our sin that separates us from God the Father. And this is why Jesus had to come, the incarnation, fully God, fully man. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross to pay for our sins that we cannot pay for, that only God could pay for. That's why Jesus had to rise on the third day. To prove that everything he said is true. Hinges on the resurrection. And we get the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he said this to the disciples. I must ascend so I can pour out the Holy Spirit upon you. What Jeremiah talked about. What prophecy talked about. Jesus fulfilled all of it. It is this blessing. If we got no other blessing ever in our life. Or if we only got that one. And suffered my whole time I was here, I'd be okay with it. I'd be okay with it. Because that, again, is the blessing that brings us into that right relationship, makes us righteous, not by our good efforts or works, but by Jesus' righteousness, brings us back into right standing, right relationship. This is what gives life a new meaning. It's because we have a new destiny, because we have come to know that Jesus is Lord and He is God. And as John closes his gospel, he lets us know the precise reason why he wrote it, right? He says that Jesus did many other miraculous signs, but I love how he ends with this miraculous sign. Because remember, his appearance out of thin air into a locked room is a miracle, right? That's what a miracle is. Defies all the laws of physics, of nature, anything that man can think of. And Jesus performs it outside of those laws that we're able to do, that's a miracle. And it's also a miracle that he appears and opens our eyes. So John is saying, this is why I wrote this book. Jesus did many others, but this really here is the one that you need to see. All of them are written here so you, and listen to what he says, so that you may believe. And watch the order that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Messiah, fulfillment of prophecy, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is Lord. And that you may believe that He is the Son of God, another title for God Himself, Lord and God. And then here comes, and that by believing, I have believed now that He is my Lord and my God. I have life in His name. Eternal life, a life worth living here for His glory, but eternal life. Notice it has nothing, it says nothing about Jesus as Savior, right? And He is, but that is the end result. Salvation is the end result of us recognizing who Jesus is, that He is God, that He is Lord, that He is the Messiah. And we get to enjoy eternal life with the Father. But let me remind you the reason why we believe. We briefly spoke about it. I talked about Jesus pouring out the Holy Spirit, right? Because it is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit which causes us to be born again. John, I love this book in chapter 1 and chapter 3. He always talks about this. It is not the decision of man. It is not the will of man. God saves us. The Psalms say it. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It is not because we are good people. It is not because we understood the scripture and understood it perfectly, what it is and what we're supposed to do, and we got it because we're that smart. We're not. We're gonna doubt. We don't want to believe. We love our sin more. And it wasn't, like Jesus explained, because we have seen the risen Christ, because we didn't get that honor and that privilege. No, we believe because God in His grace and mercy pours out the Spirit on us. He causes that supernatural work in us. And once we have our eyes open, once we can see the wounds in His hands and we can see the wounds in His side, and we can see Jesus for who He truly is, then we say and we make that decision that He is our Lord and God. Then and only then can we say, my Lord and my God. And then we are now ready and we are set, like this series has implied. We are ready and set. All we need to do is go. Right? We need to go. We need to go and share this declaration and this proclamation of the good news that Jesus is Lord and He is God. But that message is coming in a few weeks. So you have to come back. So you have to come back because we are ready and set. And Pastor Edwin is going to take us to the go and show us from Scripture. But today, Christian, if you're sitting here and you know this truth that I'm speaking, you know who Jesus is, I hope and pray that your doubts have been relieved by the power of the Spirit. And that you can confidently and calmly and with courage always say, my Lord and my God. And if you still don't know Him, If you're still in that kind of doubt where you do not have that relationship with Jesus yet, I pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon you in a miraculous, in a supernatural way. And you'll know it because you will exclaim like Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Let us pray, church. Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you for your work on the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you, God, because of your great grace and mercy. I pray, Lord, that you continue the work you have started in us. Continue to mold us and let us grow, that we may see you more and more every day as our Lord and our God, Lord. And I pray for those that haven't seen you, Jesus, save more. And as always, that your church humbly comes before you to worship you and give you the glory. And pray in your presence, precious name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.